Hey, it's Dave. So Tesla reported Q1 earnings yesterday, and this morning there's a lot of talk about Tesla's earnings, trying to process it and digest it on CNBC and other outlets. So let's take a look at kind of what the analysts and what Wall Street is talking about today.
You never want to say to yourself that here's a person that can do no wrong. But there really were no flies on that quarter. We can talk about some supply constraints, but the fact is he's got the least amount of supply constraints per vehicle of anyone I follow. And it was a tour de force quarter, of which, by the way, there were no questions about Twitter, David.
All right, so there you have Cramer calling Tesla's Q1 quarter a tour de force. It was basically like impeccable. There's nothing really to pick at it. When I look at Tesla's Q1, yeah, it was pretty straightforward. There wasn't really hidden surprises or excuses or, you know, management lowering their guidance or expectations for the future or blaming inflation, etc. No, it was Tesla really taking charge of their future, really preparing for the future, and really kind of owning the whole process. And this is what I want to see in a company's management.
The supply chain issues, they're very adept at looking around corners. They've got incredibly bright people on their supply chain. But the chip shortage that slowed down most automotive manufacturers didn't slow them down. And that's largely because they can take what chips are available in the market and rewrite their software and use whatever chips are available to them. The other automotives don't seem to have that capability. The robotaxi challenge is a very hard challenge. However, what a lot of people don't understand is a robotaxi is worth about $250,000 of profit. So if they're successful, that completely changes the car business from a one-time sale where you're making $8,000 to $10,000 of profit per car, and you're producing a car that can generate 31 times the profit. That's a goal. What a lot of people don't understand is Elon, when he makes these statements in public, is largely intending to motivate his internal team and point them at the next hill or the next horizon.
All right, so there you have John McNeil, former Tesla president, Lyft COO, commenting on Tesla's great quarter. He talks about actually kind of robotaxi as being this potentially revolutionary kind of change to the business model for cars, right? For cars, typically it's a one-time purchase and then that's it, right? But if you can find a way to continuously make money off of the car year after year, this completely changes the business dynamics. And he notes that actually Tesla doesn't need that new business model to justify valuation, because just with electric vehicles, they have a huge runway ahead. But if Tesla is successful at revolutionizing the business model for transport, this can completely change, right? The revenue, the gross profit, the net profits for Tesla going forward. And so this is kind of something that is a huge, there's a huge divergence of beliefs. A lot of people don't think that robotaxi is coming anytime soon in the next few or several years even. Some people think it's 10 or 20 years out and that Tesla isn't even in the lead. So we're going to see how this plays out. But Elon is making big bets, right, to make sure that Tesla is in the right place, in the right position, right, to take advantage of autonomous driving.
But when you were on the call last night, Phil, you had mentioned this phrase that was really interesting to me, and that was that he was never as optimistic as he was about Tesla as at that moment in time. And it struck me as really, you know, if he's going to say that when he has got a free pass to throw every single potential headwind out there as a potential reason why they may not hit even 50%, that was really bullish.
Extremely bullish.
Yeah, if you listen to the conference call, you'll notice how Elon Musk was very upbeat, very confident about the future of Tesla, about Tesla's execution, about even this year, right? How much Tesla will produce in the terms of number of cars, also just, you know, their new products ahead. Last night, my wife was commenting, she's like, you know, she listened to the earnings call and she's like, wow, like Elon and the entire team, it's just so upbeat, right? So optimistic and so hopeful. And they're really just focused, right, together. And yeah, I've noticed this over the past probably 3 or 4 quarters that Tesla's management team really, really is on the same page, right? They're highly focused. They're executing at a super high level. They're all talking the same thing about electric vehicles, massive growth, FSD, Optimus robots. So yeah, you've got this interesting, you know, phenomenon of 110,000 person company in Tesla, their management, right, is really getting behind everything that Elon is pushing the team to be and to become. And then you have Elon saying that Tesla is still in its early days, right, with just massive, massive growth ahead.
Absolutely. And this has been building for multiple years. This company is rooted in materials and software engineering. We're seeing the net result of that. That's been, you know, over a decade in the making. And they're really changing processes, you know, fundamental design of these vehicles. And I think transitioning from not just an automaker into a full-blown data-driven company that's monetizing their insurance, as well as their FSD, which is really leveraging all the cars that they have on the road.
So Colin Rush is talking about kind of Tesla moving into kind of a data-driven company, right? They're no longer just, let's say, a manufacturing company. Yeah, Tesla's, you know, has always been kind of in the forefront of using data, really being, you know, software-driven, engineering-driven. They're using that data right now to improve their full self-driving, to create a whole insurance product. I think going forward, right, we're going to see more and more of that, of Tesla as a software company, as an AI company, utilizing, right, their whole AI stack to really build some really crazy real-world applications.
You know, I can't deny that they've actually executed quite well as a premium automaker. I think there are some headwinds ahead. We'll see how 2Q plays out between Shanghai shutting down and commodities. I just think when you look at the gap between the $1 trillion valuation and our $300 billion target valuation, there's a lot of fluff built in around robots, robo-taxis, energies, which are all very speculative.
Brian, what would it take for you to actually change that rating?
Well, you know, this is what I think the company is worth. Now, that being said, we try to make trading calls in our notes. And I would point out that it's a very difficult stock to short. As long as the narrative of executing well as an automaker is continuing, which I can't deny, it doesn't really have, we think, a Netflix, Facebook kind of moment till sometime in 23, where we see if all the capacity they're adding in China, in Europe, and in Texas can actually be sold at the kind of margins we saw in 1Q and the kind of volumes that those factories would need.
All right, so Brian Johnson from Barclays is not optimistic, is not very bullish on Tesla. He has a $325 price target or so. He thinks that, yeah, things are kind of out of hand. This is a narrative, a speculative, right, investment. And his concern is in 2023, with all this competition coming, that Tesla might not be able to sell, right, that many cars with as high margin as they're doing right now. All right, so let's look at this from a couple angles. There's always risks for any company ahead, including Tesla. There's always the chance that new competition comes, compelling competition, but I'm just not seeing that personally for the next year or two, but who knows. Also, there's always a chance that, let's say, the new and used car prices start to kind of retract overall in the market. That hurts kind of Tesla's margins a bit. But you know, Tesla's in the lead right now in terms of desirability of cars, and they're targeting a market that's not completely price sensitive to just the fluctuations of even inflation per se. People want, let's say, a nice performance, let's say best of best class Tesla car, and they're willing to pay for that. One interesting risk factor though is, let's say going forward, let's say after Model 3 and Model Y have ramped fully in production, let's say in Austin and Berlin, what is the next kind of big Tesla vehicle? Let's say outside of Cybertruck and even Semi, it seems like Elon is preparing for this 2024 debut of the Robotaxi, but what if FSD is not completely ready at that time? What if it's even a few years further out? There could be some type of lag where Tesla doesn't have enough, let's say, production capacity or the right type of models to satisfy the demand. But then again, on the flip side, Tesla can rapidly, you know, make a new vehicle or even different variations of their current vehicles, right? And so, yeah, I'm not too concerned about that either.
We do struggle with valuation. Tesla produces about 2% of, well, last year produced 1% of the world's cars and had 50% of the total value of all car companies. So all other legacy car companies make 98% of cars, and yet they have the same value of Tesla, who produces 1% of cars.
So our
concern really is about the ability to sustain a 50% growth rate, particularly since Tesla really only has two cars right now and doesn't have anything that's high volume that's planned. They have Cybertruck, but that will be expensive and lower volume. And they have, you know, what they talked about, a robo-taxi last night, but we're skeptical about Tesla's ability to deliver that by 2024, so, even 2025.
All right. So Tony Sakanagi, he is expressing his kind of skepticism regarding Tesla's valuation. And yeah, obviously this is like legitimate concerns. Every investor has their own angle. And it's really hard to predict the future, right? But my concern, I guess, with Tony's kind of angle is a couple things. So first, he talks about how Tesla is only selling, let's say, a couple percent of the total autos out there, but is gaining a lion's share, right, of the valuation. And I think, the background behind that obviously is that Tesla is growing not just much faster, but they have a completely different, let's say, more compelling vehicle and product that they're offering customers that's not easily replicable by existing auto legacy OEMs. And there aren't that many new companies that are vying for position with Tesla as well. The second concern he brings up is, can Tesla sustain its 50%, let's say, vehicle delivery growth rate? This is something that Elon and his team has consistently been adamant in guiding for. And I think if you look at just the pure demand for Model Y and Model 3, even at these relatively high price points right now, there is a huge amount of pent-up demand, right, for Tesla's products. And there's nothing stopping, let's say, Tesla from being able to produce and release a cheaper vehicle, right? They could just make it a little bit smaller, reduce some of the costs. In fact, they could just reduce some of the margins that they're having right now. But yeah, in my opinion, for Tesla to continue their 50%, let's say, delivery growth rate for the next, you know, few years is very, very likely. Even if it tapers off after, let's say, 2 or 3 or 4 years, and it goes down to 40% or so, that's still a massive, right, growth rate that nothing in the industry is really experiencing, right, the likes of. And on top of that, this is a multi-year growth story where Tesla can't satisfy, right, the demand just right now. So this is going to happen over the next 5 or 10 or even 15 years, not just with electric vehicles, but with other products like Tesla Energy, FSD, and also humanoid robots as well.
My guess is that most Tesla buyers, maybe most EV buyers, still tend to be upper income folks, right? I mean, the cars are not cheap ultimately. Do they have unlimited pricing power, Philippe, or is that competition in sort of the middle market starting to hit them? It does not appear it is, but at some point, will it? Or is Tesla the Apple of cars?
Mm. Well, I mean, there are a number of analogies you can make between Apple and Tesla, no doubt. But still, I think in the Q&A, must acknowledge that this inflation environment we have is an issue for affordability, an issue for adoption.
All right, so that's actually an interesting question. Is Tesla, right, the new Apple, like having immense pricing power, just the brand, the loyalty, and the margins, et cetera? I think there's a lot of similarities. I think in one aspect, I think what Tesla's doing is they're building their ecosystem. So for Apple, it wasn't just a hardware, it wasn't just a phone, it was actually the software, it was the App Store, right? And then it was later iCloud and storing your photos and doing kind of everything, right, on the Apple ecosystem. I think for Tesla, what they're doing is, I don't think a lot of people are picking up on this, is Tesla's is building this crazy ecosystem, right? It started out with cars, and it started out with their own stores and service centers, and it started out with superchargers, which have been massively expanding over time. And then you've got kind of the software suite, right, of all these over-the-air updates, and then you have full self-driving or autopilot, and now full self-driving beta driving features and new safety features that are being added onto the car all the time. And then you've also got Tesla insurance, right, which is another thing that's added onto the ecosystem, where possibly you can get cheaper insurance that's really based upon your driving, but not just on your driving, actually makes you drive safer because of the safety metrics involved. And on top of that, you add Tesla Solar and Tesla Powerwall in your home, and you have this bigger ecosystem, right, where you're charging off the sun, creating your own energy, right, to be used in your own car. Going forward in the future, I expect Tesla to continue to invest in this ecosystem, make it more sticky, make it more compelling. And by doing so, you get better brand loyalty, better pricing power, better margins, etc. It's going to be very, very difficult, right, I think, for other car companies to really compete with Tesla long-term. All right, so there you have it, a quick review of what's being talked about regarding Tesla's earnings from yesterday. If this has been helpful, go ahead, like, and subscribe. All my videos can be found as an audio podcast as well. Just search for Dave Lee on investing in your favorite podcast player. I'm also on Twitter at HeyDave7. All right, we'll see you guys in my next video. Thanks.